So much, girls. Very, very good. Very good. All right, I'm going to try to go quickly tonight. We understand that around Ravenna, Ohio, we've got about 7 hours of sunlight per year. We've had about 6.5 already, and I don't want to take up any more time than that, but we've had, what a morning. I'm going to tell you right now, what a morning. The Lord came down in a special way this morning, and I'm so thankful that we had 6 baptized and 2 saved. And it was neat to see that fellow this morning. Brother Coolidge brought him along, and it was so great to see him get out of his chair this morning and get into the baptism before the morning was out. That was just a great thing to see. Praise the Lord. What a time that is to get you excited. If you're not excited about that, man, I'm sorry. Don't become a Baptist, because we get excited about things like that. We really, really do. And if you're not excited, we'll have an invitation at the end of the service. You can get saved at that time. But I want to talk to you tonight. There's 4 signs that you're a sinking saint. 4 signs that you're a sinking saint. I didn't say stinking. I said sinking saint. If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's all stand as we read. Start out reading at verse 22. Love to hear the turning of pages in the King James Bible. I love to hear the burning of pages in the NIV. I have to write that one down, hon. That was a good one. I don't have many good things to say. She keeps track. That's one this year. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were very troubled, saying, It is a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, one of the favorite words in all of the scriptures, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that it is to be in church. Lord, I'm thankful that we've been taught truth from your word. I'm thankful that this is an opportunity afforded to us by such great, great preachers that have given their all throughout the years and in the hundreds of years to give us something great from your book. Lord, please, don't ever let that change. Lord, let us always hear good preaching. Lord, let us always hear preaching that's not afraid of the people's faces. And Lord, help us. Help us in this day and age when it's harder than ever to be a good Christian. Lord, please help us to search to be good. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember Dr. Jim Delischmidt? Put your hands up real tall. Amen. I must admit, I loved him with all my heart, still do. And I've got to admit, this is his outline, but I'm going to have a lot of fun with this, and I don't care what you think about me. The lay people, as an associate pastor, the Lord only gives us 2 messages a year. The rest of it's all fill in. Just kidding. Dr. Jim was one of the greatest encouragers that ever walked the face of this earth. He was a person that was able to take something and help you with it and make you feel good that the whole world around you might be falling apart, but the Lord still knows and the Lord still cares. He preached this message years and years and years ago, and I don't even know if you've heard this message before. But in this message, it talks about God's people sinking in this old polluted ocean of a world that we live in today more often than ever before. You might say, well, Brother Dave, you got to go back to the time when the people were actually getting killed and beheaded for the word of God. But understand this, they knew what they were fighting against back then.
And I'm not taking away into the suffering or persecution because I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure I would have been strong enough to stand back in those days. But understand, today, in this day, we've gone temperate and cold. We've come to a day of being lukewarm, therefore sinking, and it's a slow, merciless sinking that we're doing today. It becomes to a point where we have enough money and enough things where we don't need God anymore. We have enough parts of our lives going on so fast that we don't have time to come to church. We've got so many things that are bogging us down and weighing us down in this whole world today that no matter what, it's just hard to stand. Because anymore, why stand? It's just too much work. But understand this, it's worth the work. It's worth the straining of your back. It's worth the time preparing yourself and reading the scriptures. It's worth that time because the rewards are indefinite, not just great, indefinite. There's just no stamp you can put on it. Question number one, as saints, are we in favor with God? Are you exactly doing what God wants you to do? Now, you can search your hearts and you can look inside of yourself better than I can. But I've got to ask you a question tonight. Are you in favor with God? Is God pleased with where you're at in your life? Is God pleased with what you're doing in your life? Is God pleased with what you've got planned for the next few months of your life? Is He pleased? I'm just going to be honest. I look in my life and there's several things that I know the Lord's not pleased with. And I think if you'd be honest with yourself, I've got to believe that you could find parts of your life that you're truly not happy with. And you know that God's probably not happy with parts of your life. The list is long. And I'm sure that if we sat here long enough and talked about the things that we fall short on, we'd be here all night. But understand this. You've got a God that cares about you. And even though you're not in favor with Him at the moment, even though you may be not doing exactly what you're supposed to do, God knows, and He loves you, and He wants you to come on back doing what you're supposed to be doing. Number two, am I in fellowship with God? Are you in fellowship with God? Now, we start talking about these things, and we start saying, hey, this talking about spirit now. Are you in fellowship with God? How many days I've wasted not being in fellowship with the Lord? How many days and how many times that I've wasted precious moments and wasted precious days not being in fellowship with God, not being one with the Spirit that He gives us? You know, it's amazing. We as Baptists get so afraid of the charismatic movement that we're scared to death to talk about the Spirit anymore. We're scared to death to talk about that Holy Spirit that dwells within us and empowers us. We're scared to death to talk about the word power. You talk about the word power, you swear you're talking to Ernest Angley. Understand this. The charismatics don't have the market on the Spirit. The charismatics don't have the market on the power that God gives. Matter of fact, they're not even tapped into it. They talk about it, but they're not tapped into it. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be afraid to call upon the power that God gives us. We've got the truth, amen? It's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I feel like I'm led of the Spirit this morning. Nothing wrong with that. Don't be afraid to be led of the Spirit when you do things. Don't be afraid to have fellowship with God. I love hearing people pray sometimes, and there's nothing against folks that do this, but understand this. The Lord made vocabulary. You're not going to give Him a word that throws Him a curveball. We sometimes try to pick words that are 5 and 6 syllables long in front of people to impress. God knows what you're going to say. Just say what you feel in your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, people say, well, I'm not close enough to God to talk to Him as my friend. Then turn the tables. He desires to be close enough to you to be called your friend. So talk to Him as though He's your friend. Well, that's not being reverent in the mind of the Almighty. Let me tell you something. The Almighty sent His only begotten Son to die for you. He loves you. He desires that fellowship with Him. Talk to Him like you love Him. Talk to Him like you care about Him, because He certainly loves you. We talk about prayer sometimes, and sometimes we get so caught up in the formality of prayer. Do you understand that prayer can be the most informal thing you do? walking down the road someday, you can just say, Lord, man, I'm so thankful that you're a great God. Lord, I don't deserve anything that you give me. I've said these things daily. I don't deserve anything you give me, but Lord, I sure am glad that you have. I don't need to get long words to impress God. He's not impressed. So let's have good fellowship with God. The great thing about it is in Proverbs 3:5-6, I want to show you this real quickly. You should know these verses, but I want to show you this real quickly in Proverbs 3:5-6. We love as Christians to try to explain the will of God. Let me tell you what I mean. You love, and I love, to be able to say, I know what the will of God is for my life. Funny, God has a wonderful sense of humor. And what he'll do is, he'll throw you a curveball that you never imagined was coming. I'll never make the statement, I'll never be a missionary to Africa. God takes that too funny. He'll say, okay, and he'll ship me on a boat to Africa. Whatever you want, God, that's all you got to say, because then when if you say whatever you want, God, he'll be happy to do whatever he wants. But if you say, I'm not going to be a missionary to Africa, even if he didn't have that on the docket for your life, he may change things around just for you. Look at Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't try, and I like this, don't try to figure God out. He's beyond figuring. And by the way, I'm excited that he's beyond figuring, because if I could figure him out, he'd be dumb. If I could figure him out, he wouldn't be so smart. Be thankful that you can't figure God out. Be thankful that you don't understand. Be thankful that God is almighty. Be thankful for that. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Am I in fellowship with God? Are we in formation with God? How many times have I tried to lead God around? How many times have you tried to help God? How many times have you tried to, like you tried to say, well, God, I'll do this so that way things are cleared up on my end. The devil leads us around sometime like a mule, with a little carrot that he puts in front of us and leads us around thinking, we think that we're doing just right. We think that we've got it all figured out. We think that we're the greatest thing in sliced bread. Are you in God's formation, or are you following your own agenda? Are you in God's formation, or are you getting behind what the devil has for you? Are you doing something that you ought not do, even though you think you ought to do it, being led around by the devil himself? Do you know the devil doesn't necessarily lead you around with bad things? Listen to me. Sometimes the devil leads you around with good things. Sometimes he leads you around with things that aren't so bad. And you look and you say, man, I'm not doing so bad. I'm doing okay. But that's not what God wants for your life. Are you in formation with what God wants? Sometimes that's not the most money in the world. Sometimes that's not the most grandeur in the world. Sometimes that'll get you out of the limelight that some of us seek so well. Sometimes that'll get you out of what you think you ought to be doing, what you think is right for you, and that'll put you in a place where God thinks is right. I'd rather be where God wants me. Are you in formation with God? As saints, and these are the four, as saints, we are beginning to sink when we are not blessed by the Spirit anymore. When we're not blessed by the Spirit, this is when we're beginning to sink. I'm going to tell you right now, when the Spirit comes into this room, when the Spirit is with you and the Spirit is going through this room, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are afraid to talk about this, but I'm going to, if you didn't feel the Spirit moving around this room this morning, check your ticker. You may have been passed out. And it's not because of me that I say that. I hope you don't misread me. I could care less about who was preaching up here this morning. It's about what the Spirit was doing out here this morning. And the Spirit moved through this room and got into a man and said, hey, you need to get saved this morning. And the phone rang and he picked it up and came forward and got saved. Amen. Nothing to do with the preacher. It was the Word that made the difference. Amen. He came forward and got saved. And that was Sunday school. Man, that was, I'm telling you right now, hey, you can get mad at me all you want. I was excited this morning. Amen. Sunday school salvation. Amen. Woo! Then later on, he comes down the steps of bed. I'm telling you right now, I didn't expect it at all. I didn't expect it at all. I see Brother Brent back there. I said, we got four. He says, we got six. I said, six? Where'd six come from? I know we had four kids come up. Where'd six come from? And I see this huge man come up. Man, that's awesome. The Spirit did that. The Spirit moved through these seats today. The Spirit said, hey, I'm going to take care of that fellow and get him baptized, move his heart. He picked up the phone, came right up front and got baptized. Then I see that fella come up the steps that got saved this morning. It thrills my heart more than you can know to watch grown men getting saved and getting into the water. It just doesn't get better than that. And the Spirit moved him to get up and get in that tub this morning and get baptized. And he came up here. He says, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, that was a great church service. I got to miss every other week. But you know what? I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here as much as I possibly can. Glory to God. Amen. Then a fellow sitting back there, big kid too, raised his hand, didn't even hesitate to come forward. See, the Spirit was here this morning. The Spirit was here. And what's exciting about that is, humans can pull themselves right out of the equation when the Spirit comes. I don't have to help him. He's doing just fine. The Spirit comes and takes him right up to the front. And Brother Mark, I think it was you that, or Brother Rod, that dealt with that one kid this morning. And he got saved. When the Spirit is moving, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Listen to me. On the other side of that, if you weren't blessed by the Spirit this morning, you're starting to sink. You are beginning to sink if you weren't excited this morning. You're beginning to sink. And I think it's time that we look inside of our hearts and say, what in the world would make me happy then? If I can't get excited over one that gets saved, what in the world can I get happy about? If the Spirit doesn't move your heart, if the Spirit doesn't bless you, then you're beginning to sink. You're definitely beginning to sing. From the Spirit you get conviction. Conviction's not a bad thing. It is something that if you can still sit there and feel guilty over something you've done, that's good. Because the Lord's still working on your heart. If you've got those kind of things, the Spirit will give you things like tears. When you feel sick for the saints, you feel sick for the sinners, you have tears about things that you wouldn't normally have tears about. And I'm not a sissy. I'm not going to sit up here and blubber all the time and cry. I know there's a lot of preachers that can pull out tears whenever they want to. I'm not one of those guys. I can't do that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are times when I weep over people that are not saved because I would to God that they just see for 1 minute how great it is on the salvation side. I can't give up my life. He's not asking you to. He's asking you to just live for him. Not give up your life. Live for him. Use it in a different way. And I would to God that they would come and see this on the other side. Not only does it give you tears, it gives you testimonies. Now I understand sometimes you feel like, oh, testimony time. Man, we're going to hear about Aunt Margaret's cat living and everything else. But understand this. There's no good testimony when it has a living cat in it. I'll tell you that. Testimony. Testimonies, I came up here before I said that because Tommy's got a cane. Testimonies is the purest preaching that there is. Let me tell you what God did for me. And understand this, a lot of times you feel that, well, if you're telling me that, you're bragging. Sometimes it could be. But know this, it's good to hear God still doing things. It's good to know that the Lord is still working in lives today. He has not quit working in people. It's good to hear that sometimes. Sometimes just that word of encouragement can help you through your day. He also gives you triumphs. Understand this. The troubles will soon be over. Man, there's going to be a day real soon when we don't have to worry about struggles anymore. We're going to have them here. We've got no choice. But it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. When you're not blessed by the Spirit, you're certainly starting to sink. When you're not bothered by the Scriptures, you're beginning to sink. When you're not bothered by the Scriptures, most Christians dust off their Bible to bring it to church. Boy, it got quiet quick.
There was amens all the way up until that one right there. Somebody threw a lead rock right there on that one. Most of us dust our Bibles off to come to church. They hardly ever open them. And if they do open them, you know, they pretty much know it all. Oh, I'm an old Christian. I've been saved for years and years, and I really believe I've heard everything that the book has to offer. When you get to that point, you're beginning to sink. Because the Lord uses His book to bless your life. The Lord uses His book to do things that can't even imagine. There is power in the Word of God. It is the Word that brings people to know Him as their Savior. It is the Word that lets you know everything you know about Christ. I love people say, well, I meet the Lord on an intimate level. Not unless you get in this book. Because I got news for you. You take this book away, tell me about the Lord. Tell me about the Lord if you take the book away. It sure is pretty outside. That's all you've got. And you know the Lord probably did that. But when you get in here, you know that in the beginning, God. See, what's amazing is we don't hold this book as revered as we need to. If you're not bothered by the Scriptures and convicted by the Scriptures, you're starting to sink. If the Bible doesn't bother you when you read it and you realize how sin-sick you really are, you don't understand that you are starting to sink. I love people say, I'm getting closer to God. It's been the best years of my life. Understand this. When I get closer to God, the Lord lets me know how much of a wretch I am. And as He's letting me know how much of a wretch I am, He turns around with the other hand and says, but I still love you. And I still want you to work for me. I still want you to serve me. If you read that Bible and you're getting in there and you're not bothered by the Scriptures anymore, mark it down, Christian, you're beginning to sink. If it doesn't bother you that you don't read your Bible, you're beginning to sink. And I'm going to tell you, you need to come to a place in your life where you are bothered by the Scriptures. No book in the world is like the King James Bible. No book. There's nothing even comes close to the King James Bible. Not one thing. The Word of God brings conviction. Can God still get through? Have you ever been broken? Have you ever, I love this. Have you ever been broken? I mean, you are just down in the dumps. And somebody comes up to you and says, well, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. You might be in the dumps. Obviously, if you're saying that, things must be working together for good for you. Because if you'd get down in the dumps with me, you wouldn't be thinking it was working together. People get hard on themselves sometimes. People get to the point in their lives where they say, hey, it's bad down here, God. I'm not sure that I can walk another step. And if you get out of the Bible, you're not going to find a place that you can go to find comfort. You're going to miss it. And what's sad is we look at other people that their lives seem to be going great. Most of the time, they're lying. Most of the time, if they'd be honest, they're having troubles too. And what we've got to realize every time we walk into this church house, Brother Coolidge, we're all having a tough time. And we need to be there for each other. You ever had a time where you just didn't want to hear that all things work together for good? Because it just seems like that's too much work. I'm going to tell you right now, understand this. The Lord loves you, and He desires you to get into His book. And there's going to be days as a Christian, I don't care who you are or where you're from, you think of the most faithful Christian you can think of. I guarantee you there's highs and there's lows in their life. It's the ride that is the difference. Would you be willing to stay with the Lord in the valley? Are you willing to stay with Him there? Are you willing to stay with the Lord on the mountaintop? Or are you going to get off the car and think that you made it there? Are you willing to take that ride and understand that there are going to be trials? There's going to be tribulations. Are you willing to stay in the book? Are you willing to be blessed by the Spirit? Because if you're not, and if you're getting away from those things, understand this, you are starting to sink. The Bible doesn't only give you conviction, it gives you cleansing. I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible will clean you up. I mentioned this morning. Don't look on the outside of somebody and think they've got to be a bad person. The Lord might be working on the inside first. The Lord works on the inside in mysterious ways that we can never understand. But know this, just because somebody doesn't look right doesn't mean they ought not be with us. The Lord gives us that book. And in that book, not only will it give you conviction, it will also clean you up. Peter began to sink.
Think about this. If you go back to that time, you're sitting in the boat. You're scared that that's a spirit. Lord says, come. Peter steps out of the boat. And you've heard this a million times. Peter steps out of the boat. That first step must have freaked him out. Can you think about the first step with me? I don't know how deep that water was, but if it was 10 feet, it's still deep enough to go under. He steps out of the boat, and can you imagine feeling the water go solid underneath your foot? All the other water's still moving, but there's the water like this. He's saying, wow, this is working out pretty good. Then the next step, this is working out great. What's that coming in the background there? That's a big wave. Looks at the Lord, Lord, and he begins to sink. Now understand this. For one second, he took his focus off of what he's supposed to have his focus on. For one second, that's all it was. And in your Christian life, this world will tear you apart if you take your focus off of him for one second. Just one time, the world will put something in your life that will tear you apart. You've got to keep your focus on him. You've got to keep your focus on him. Do not begin to sink. The walk to the Lord had to be scary. It had to be. But did you ever think about the walk back? I don't think I've ever heard that preached on before. Did you ever think about the walk back? I don't know how deep he got. Some people think his ankles, some people think his knees. I don't care if he got to his toes. That's beginning to sink. And the Lord immediately grabbed him and pulled him. Now listen to me. He went to the Lord, remember? How do you think the walk back was? Do you think he was worried? Why? Two things. One, his faith was increased because he saw God do a miracle. He picked him right up out of the water. Lord's still standing on the water. He's not having any trouble at all. Then on the way back, did he worry about sinking then? Why? Because he's safe in the arms of God. Amen. See, the Lord takes care of his own. It doesn't matter if he had to walk 10 miles on the water. The Lord could have walked every step with him just fine. You know, in your life, there's going to be miles of water that you have to walk through. Now, if you walk through it on your own, chances are you're going to drown. But if you walk through with the Lord, he'll put his arm around you and take you safely to the other side. Number three, faith not tested is faith not trusted. Listen to that. I didn't make that one up. That's a really good one. Faith not tested is faith not trusted. If you're not being buffeted by the serpent, then you're beginning to sink. The first two, where you're not being blessed by the Spirit, you're beginning to sink. If you're not bothered by the Scriptures, you're beginning to sink. If you're not being buffeted by the serpent, you're beginning to sink. Well, what do you mean? I have to go through trials or I'm sinking? Listen to me. In Luke 22:31, the Bible says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. If you are serving God, do you think Satan's going to be happy with you? Think with me. Is Satan going to be happy having you come to church, having you get into your Bible, having you rejoice when you feel the movement of the Holy Spirit? Is he going to be happy when he sees people getting saved? Is he going to be happy when he sees people stepping into the baptismal? He's not going to be happy. So therefore, he wants to do everything he can to get Josh Sells to stop serving God. He's going to do everything he can to get Ed White to stop serving God. Because if he can stop get Ed White to stop serving God, less people will come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if that happens, then he can get more people for his side. So he buffets you. And understand this, if you're not in the fight, you're not fighting. If you're not being beat around a little bit, then you're not in the fight. It's a war that's going on out there today. It's not a playground. It's not a recreation room. This is a time in the whole wide world when we have got to do more than we've ever done before to win that battle. And if you're not being beat up a little bit by Satan, then you are not in the war. If Satan's not knocking you around somewhere, you've got to test your faith some, where you've got to put yourself on the line a little bit. If you're not in that spot, then you're not serving God. It's as simple as that. Because if you were serving God, Satan would be after you. If you were serving God, he'd be right on your doorstep. If you're not serving God, He's already got you. You're already His. Now, I know you can't have your salvation taken away, but while you're on this earth, you've got a job, brother. And if you're not doing that job, Satan's got his arms wrapped all around you, and he's not going to go after you anymore because he's already got you. If you're not being buffeted by that old serpent, then you're beginning to sink. Satan seeks to do a few things. He wants to discourage you. He wants to divide you, divide us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to disappoint us. He wants to depress us. And he wants to damage us beyond repair. I can guarantee you in your lives you've had times of those very things. Times when you're discouraged. Times when you're divided. Times when you feel destroyed. Times when you're disappointed and depressed. And certainly times when you're damaged. I just hope it's never been beyond repair. Because the devil will do whatever he can do to get you out of the ministry. The devil will do whatever he can do to get you to quit soul winning. The devil will do whatever he can do to get you to quit ministering those seniors and that mission that you do. He'll do whatever he can do to quit you going on an evangelism tour and quit singing your songs and making your songs. He's going to do whatever he can do to get you to stop directing choir and doing the bus routes. He's going to do whatever he can do to get you to stop serving God, because the more you serve God, the more you get to win to the Lord, to Christ, and the more that Christ can do through your life. Satan knows this, and that's why he comes after your life. But when Satan comes and tempts you sore, those are the times when you use your faith. Because if your faith is not tested, then it's not trusted. And you've got to trust what the Lord can do for you. Last one. You're starting to sink when you're not burdened by sinners. When you are no longer burdened by sinners, you are beginning to sink. Lord, have mercy on us when we find ourselves not caring about lost souls. I am probably, in my eyes, I don't look for man's praise. I don't care about that. In my eyes, I am the chiefest of sinners. I don't witness near enough. I don't tell people about the Lord near enough. I'm so thankful that none of you are ever burdened with this. But when you come to a point in your life when you see somebody walking down the street and you don't care whether or not they're lost or whether or not they're saved, you're beginning to sink. You're getting into a point where if you look out across this room and and you don't care whether or not the people in it are lost or saved, you've got a problem. Because one thing I remember is somebody caring enough about me to come and pick me up, to drive me to church, to make sure I heard the Word of God, and to make sure I was saved. Somebody cared about me. No matter what you say or how you feel, somebody told you. Somebody took the time and cared about you enough to tell you about the Lord. The minute that you stop caring about that, you are sinking fast. And in this world, it is so easy to get to that point. It is so easy, and I'm telling you these things because it's simple to get to the point of sinking. It's simple to get to the point of where the devil has got such great ways to lead us around. He's got such great things that we can put in front of our faces. He's got Cleveland Indians baseball. He's got Pittsburgh Steelers football. Nobody cares about the Browns, can't mention them. He's got all these things that he can dangle in front of us of things that can take our eyes off of the Lord just for a few minutes, take our lives out of the, well, I've got so much work, I can't do anything for God. I've got so many things going on, I can't do anything for God. What's sad is you don't have to go far to find a lost person. Most of us have them living inside our own households. Most of us have them living right in our own families, yet we won't go and tell them about the Lord. You're sinking. We're sinking. The question is, are we willing to hold up our hand and say, Lord, save me? Because I got news for you. Nobody else can. Nobody else can prick your heart to do things for Him. Nobody else can. Lord, save me. Let me care more. Because if you're sinking fast, it's not long you're blowing up bubbles with the fish. And you're underwater drowning. And in this day and age, you can't get to the point of drowning. You've got to seek him. If you're not burdened by the condition of sinners, you're beginning to sink. If you're not burdened by the simple fact of their condemnation, the fact that sinners are going to go to hell, sinners are going to go to a place where you literally can't, I'm talking about lost sinners, I hope you're with me on this. They're going to go to a place that burns with fire forever. Your family's going to go there. I'll never forget it when my grandmother was on her deathbed getting ready to die. I felt so horrible. I'm so thankful that nobody else ever had to face this, but I didn't witness to my grandmother until the very, very end. All I've got to go on is the fact that she squeezed two fingers in acknowledgement that she heard me. 24 hours later, she was gone. In my heart of hearts, I would love to tell you that my grandmother got saved. The big thing is, Brother Coolidge, why did I wait until she was dying to tell her about the Lord? Living with that is too much. Don't go through it. Your family members are alive. I vowed that day that I would make sure that I told my aunts and uncles all about the Lord. This is what's hilarious. I told them about the Lord and they automatically thought I was a snake handler. They automatically thought I was a whack job, holy roller. And you know what's funny? That was so discouraging for me. It was so discouraging to know that I witnessed to them and they turned me away like I had no idea what I was talking about. And then I got to the scriptures and it said, "Don't worry, son. It's not you that they're upset with. It's me." If you're not worried about the condemnation of the lost, then you're sinking. If you're not worried about the conversion of the lost, then you're sinking. Folks, I'm going to tell you today, we live in a time where it is so simple to sink. It is so simple to look at each other and say, "I'm doing better than him. I must be okay. I'm doing a much better job than him at being a Christian, so I must be okay." If you feel that you're doing a better job than somebody else, you're sinking. You're sinking because the Lord doesn't want you to think of yourself that way. I look across this room today and I see lots of people that win more souls than I do. That bothers me. Not because they win more souls, but because I don't win that many souls. Not for numbers. You got to understand something. If you get in your head that you care about how many souls you win during the week, you're sinking. Because it's not your job to win them. It's your job to tell them. My problem is I have a hard time even telling them. And what is the biggest thing in our life is we don't need to tell just the strangers we meet on the street. I believe we'd win more people if we tell the people we know about Christ. People that you're with and trust you and care about you, that you could tell them about Christ. And you know what? They might say, "Man, maybe I need to come and get what you've got." Get them into church one time. Do whatever you can. Care about their souls, because if you don't care about them, they're going to burn in hell forever. If you don't care about the conversion of souls, the condition of souls, you're sinking, Christian. You're sinking. I just hope that we recognize that we're sinking before it's too late. Because I'm afraid in some of our lives that we're drowning. And if we can't reach out to God quick, "Lord, please help me. Lord, please save me. I've got to get back in the fight. Lord, please save me. I've got to care about sinners. Lord, please save me. I've got to care about your scriptures." If you don't want to reach up your hand and ask God to save you, I don't know how you're going to get out of the water. Because without him, how do we succeed? There's telltale signs of the Christian sinking. I'm going to add one more thing. When's the last time you cared about another Christian sinking? Listen to me. When's the last time you cared about another Christian sinking? Instead of your rotten mind saying, "I hope they do sink." Well, you think that I'm way off on that. I know I'm not off on that. I've had thoughts of that myself in the past. I hope they fall flat on their face. How dare we? How dare we hope that another Christian fails? Good Lord, I hope that Brother Mark builds a choir of 1,000 up here. Brother Dave, why would you do that? You used to be the choir director. Because I want Mark to succeed for God. I want the Lord to have the glory here. I want that success. Amen. He has forgot more about music than I know. He's a good guy for that spot, and I'm excited. Why would you want another Christian to fail, Brother Coolidge? Why would you want another person to come back again and say, I didn't win anybody, Lord? Why would you want that? As Christians, we ought to be each other's best cheerleader. We ought to be behind each person every day. Man, I'm so thankful, Brother Coolidge, you brought that guy this morning. And I'm not kidding you, that was awesome. I'm thankful about that. I'm thankful that Brother Coolidge was integral in that guy's life coming forward. He was the person, the catalyst that got it going. And I know that Brother Coolidge wants to give God all the glory, but I don't care. I'm thankful, and I want Brother Coolidge to succeed every step of the way. If we get a bunch of people succeeding in here, watch out. If we get a bunch of people that are successful for God and have each other talking to God about, man, I hope Bob Shell is successful in that youth ministry. Because if we get Brother Bob being, and he is very successful, by the way, if we get him to keep being successful in that youth ministry, watch out. If we keep Brother Josh Sells being successful in the bus ministry, watch out. We need to pray for each other that we'll get successful for God. Because we live in a life where nobody else is going to be praying for you. Nobody else is going to want you to succeed. In the corporate world today, the easiest way to get to the top, Josh, is by stepping on the back of somebody else. That doesn't work here. In here, we want you to step right here. And we'll help you up. Because if you live in a church that doesn't want to help you up, find you another church. Because God wants to help people. God seeks to help people get forward. God knows that there's people sinking, and he's got his hand out right now saying, please, won't you come? I want you to. I can imagine God reaching his hand down to a bunch of sinking Christians that are sinking in the water with their arms folded. I don't care that I'm sinking. Would to God we'd reach up. Would to God we'd reach up, because the Bible says immediately he saved him. Immediately. He pulled him out of the water. It wasn't 10 minutes. It wasn't 30 seconds. Watch Peter flip around a little bit. Watch this. He reached his hand out immediately. I'm going to tell you right now, Christian, he'll reach out his hand to you too. And I'm so thankful he'll reach out his hand to me. Folks, I don't know if you're sinking or not. I just don't know. But I know there's been days in my life, man, I feel like I'm up to my hips in quicksand. And I just feel like, man, Lord, I just wish I could get closer to you. Do you know he wants to hear those words? He wants to hear you say, I wish I could be closer to you. Please help me to get closer. He wants to hear those words. Please put somebody in my path today that I can win to you. Please help Brother Mark to succeed. Please help Brother Lenny to succeed. He wants to hear those words out of your mouth. All you have to do is whisper them. And he'll put out his hand and he'll say, please, come on up. I know it's going to be hard. It's never going to be easy. But remember, the walk back is a whole lot easier than the walk forward was. Test your faith. Use your faith. And let's stop sinking. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I believe I did exactly what you wanted me to do. Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. I'm so thankful that you care enough about us people down here, dirty, rotten sinners, to constantly want to help us up, because we need it all the time. There's time after time after time, Lord, I continue to sink and continue to sink. But Lord, every time you look down at me, okay, I'll help you up again. I'll help you up again. Lord, please help me up to a place that's solid ground that I'll never come off of. Lord, help me to focus on you. Help me to just want to follow your path. Help me not to seek my own, just to seek yours.
Help give me a deeper care for the lost. Help give me a deeper care for the condition of those lost. Help me, Lord, to get better into your scriptures and get more often into your Bible and deeper into its thoughts and in its words. And Lord, if there's some out there that are sinking today, when they call to you, Lord, please help them up. Help them up out of the water that they're standing in and sinking. Help us to look at you as a church, understanding that, you know what, maybe we don't do everything right in your eyes, but Lord, please help us to do them right. Help us to focus on you. And Lord, please, if there's one lost today, don't let them leave this building until they know you as their Savior. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around.